Doug, practice worked. Thank you, brother, for sharing that with us. Good morning. You all look better this morning. What's going on? We even got a front row this morning. It's been a rough week. It's been a rough month, so. But I hope this message encourages you this morning. I think the Lord has ordained this. I didn't know what this week would be like, but God did. God knows the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. You can trust Him with everything. I was just thinking this morning, when I leave here, I'm not going to have to worry about sharpening the lawnmower blades. I have a bad back. I can't get under that stupid lawnmower anymore. I didn't mean to say that. Last week, we started chapter 1. Well, we were actually a couple weeks before that, got through chapter 1 of Ephesians. So if you take your Bibles this morning, I apologize, there's not an AV there this morning, but I want you to follow in your Bibles, and that's something we used to do, and the saints have done for a long time, and they didn't have it really early on, but as soon as they got the Word of God, I'm sure they followed. They didn't have any overhead, so I think we'll make it. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. We're going to look at the first 10 verses. Before I say this, I want to read this verse as I implore you. Don't mourn today as one who has no hope. We have a hope. Eternal in the heavens. Looking better every day. I'm going to ask you if you're able to stand, and we're going to read from chapter 2 of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Wake up. God has quickened you. "From you were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were," don't you like that word? "and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Oh, but I love this next two words. Verse 4, "but God." There's a lot of "but gods" in the word. Have you noticed? "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins." Chris, he loved you, even when you were dead in your sins. Chris and I had a nice time having lunch this past week or so. "He quickened us together with Christ. And by grace," that's unmerited favor, "by grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." You know, most of you all know this by heart, verse 8 and 9. "But by grace you're saved, through faith. And guess what? And that not of yourselves." You don't have to worry about it. God has taken care of it. He did it all for you as a gift of God. Not of works. No one here today can work your way into heaven, lest any man should ever be able to boast. Verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Father, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in our sins. O Lord, wake us up this morning. Lord, we some of us here don't have a whole lot of time left. Wake us up. Help us not to walk as dead men, but to walk awake in your spirit. You who loved us even when we were dead in our sins. We are alive forevermore. Our dear friend, Pastor Jim, he's more alive right now than he's ever been. Lord, thank you that we have this precious hope in you. Now, Lord, I pray you would speak to us today. Please, Lord, your Holy Spirit, speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated, please. Paul said in the last verse of chapter 1, there were no chapters in the letter. It was a continuous letter, and he says at the end of chapter 1 and verse 23, we have, talking about us, he says, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Then he says, you were once dead in trespasses and sin, and you were not just dead, you were dead in sin. But we're alive forevermore. In chapter 1, Paul gave us our wonderful spiritual possessions. Remember last week, we talked about what the blessings that we had. Pastor Jim Neihardt and Donna Phillips that we lost just a few weeks ago, they now are experiencing what we learned in chapter 1. They're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. They're accepted in the Beloved. And you know, we're not to heaven yet, but you know, we have those promises right there for now. For now. Blessed with all spiritual blessings. Accepted in the Beloved. When you receive Christ, all in chapter 1 is what Christ has done for us as sinners that accepted Him. Chapter 1, he says, the sinner who trusts Christ has been raised and seated on the throne. Then the next 11 verses through 22, he says, the believing Jews and Gentiles have been reconciled and set in the temple by God's grace. We have all been taken out of the graveyard of sin. Aren't you glad? Now, not every person here may have known the Lord Jesus in their heart today, has never given their heart to Christ. If you're here this morning and you've not done that, today could be the day of salvation for you. Today could be a day that everything gets settled with you and God, and you could begin a relationship that is eternal in the heavens. Do you realize how you cannot pay for that? God did. He paid a tremendous price for you. You can't afford it. I know I can't. I can't. We've all been taken out of this graveyard of sin, a place of no hope, to a place of hope, positionally placed in the throne room of glory. There are four works I'm going to bring to you this morning. There are four works in this passage. The first one is sin is working against us. This is one work. In the first three verses, Paul gives us a full-length picture of just how terrible a condition an unsaved person finds themselves in these first three verses of chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, he is dead, spiritually dead, the lost. So he or she has no spiritual life. And he or she can't do anything in themselves to please God. Did you know that? If you have no spiritual life, you can't please God. So just like a person that is physically dead can't respond to physical stimulation, this person can't respond to any spiritual stimulation on his own. A dead person can't hear, isn't hungry for food or drink, and can't feel pain. Pastor Jim's not feeling any more pain. Boy, he had some to deal with many times. I don't understand it, but he does now. That's the way it is with an unsaved man or woman. Their inner soul is dead and they can't function spiritually till God's Spirit draws them. And He will, and He draws all men to Himself. But inside themselves, they don't have any life to respond with when they're dead spiritually. So faith is a gift from God. John 1:9, He puts a light in every man. What caused spiritual death? Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, not only physically, but spiritually, separated from God. So the unbeliever is not just sick, he's dead spiritually. He doesn't need a call 911. He needs a resurrection. Speaking of the resurrection, guess what's coming? Easter. All lost sinners are dead. The bum on Skid Row might be decayed more than on the outside than the unsaved secular leader, but both are dead in sin and have no hope without Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6 says, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 2 and 3, look at them, but it says, in time past ye walked according to this world. Number one, sin works against us. Disobedience works against us. Disobedience was the beginning of man's spiritual death. His disobedience to the will of God. And Satan said, you shall not surely die. And in that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And guess what? They believed a lie. Have you ever believed a lie? I have. And they experienced immediate death, and spiritually and ultimately physical death. And from then on, man has lived in disobedience to God. And there are three forces that encourage man to disobey God: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The world puts pressure on man to conform to its ways, but Jesus is not of this world. And when we accept Him, we are no longer of this world. Positionally, we are in Christ. Jesus told the Jews in John chapter 8, verse 23, you are from beneath, and I am from above. And you are of this world, and I am not of this world. So the unsaved person is whether they realize it or not, controlled by the values and attitudes of this world. And the devil is the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. You know, this doesn't mean that Satan is personally working in every unbeliever's heart. Because, you know, Satan is just one angel. He's the only one fallen angel. But many, he's in the leader of those that have fallen with him. And he is not omnipresent like God, but he has demonic friends. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because you're going to need it next week and tomorrow and maybe today after you leave here. Maybe while you're here. But the worst part of this is he not only works in unbelievers, he also uses his power to influence believers, children of God, true believers. We forget that sometimes. He has already fallen and become the prince of disobedience, and he wants all others to follow him, even believers. When this unity comes to a church, or even good believers can be led astray to bring disunity in the body of Christ by disobedience. God says, I want obedience rather than sacrifice. One of Satan's tools to get people to disobey God is lies. John 8:44, he's a liar and he's the father of them. The hordes of unsaved in the world today obey Satan because they believe his lies. When a person believes and practices a lie, he becomes a child of disobedience. And the flesh, Paul doesn't mean our body in itself, the body is not sinful. But the flesh refers to the fallen nature that we are born with, and that nature wants to control our bodies, our minds, and make us disobey God. I'll give you a little illustration there. See, a dog behaves like a dog because it's a dog's nature. If you would transplant a dog's nature into a cat, the cat would act very different. See, we go by our nature. And you know what? God can change your nature. Did you know that? He's the only one that can do that. So why does a sinner act like a sinner? Because he has a nature of a sinner. Do you know that you do what you do this morning because you believe what you believe? And you believe what you believe because you feel what you feel. And then you do what you do. I got a whole message on that. And that's the me you see. It's a little thing. We got a thing going here about this, the me you see. Psalm 51 verse 5 says, Behold, I was brought forth in sin, and in my mother's womb I was conceived. And the Bible calls the sin nature flesh. So don't be surprised when lost people act like lost people. They're controlled by the world and the flesh and the devil. And those are the three enemies, the great enemies of God. And a lost person can't change his own nature. His only hope is in God. Your neighbor, only hope today is in God to do something. And you may be an instrument in God's hand. Look at the last part of verse 3. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Sinners are depraved, and he lives to please the desires of the flesh and the wishes of the mind. His actions are sinful because his appetites are sinful. When you apply the word depraved to an unsaved person, you aren't saying that he only does evil and he cannot do good. You're just saying he can't do anything to merit salvation or meet the high standards of God's holiness. He's in trouble without God. He needs God. She needs God. Luke chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, Lost sinners do good to those who do good to them. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, Jesus says, If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? God is ready. He's willing this morning to give you His Spirit to live in your heart and your life so you can live a whole different life. Lost people can do good, but they can't do anything good spiritually to please God because they're depraved and they're without God. By deed, they are children of disobedience. John chapter 3, verse 18, Jesus said, He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. The sentence has been passed. But thank God for 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. But He, God, is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Aren't you glad? Man can't save himself, but God. There it is again. But God can save. So the first work, sin works against us. But the second work we're looking here is God works for us. Sin works against us, but God works for us. Ephesians chapter 2, looking at verses 4 through 9, God is for us. Paul now changes his focus from sinful man to God. And in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, salvation is of the Lord. Paul reminds us of four activities that God performed for us that we might be saved from our sin. Look at verse 4. And He loved us. God is love. 1 John 4, 8, he who does not love does not know God. For God is what? Love. God is rich in mercy. Did you know that God would love even if there were no sinners? Because love is a vital part of who God is. Theologians call love one of God's attributes. But God has two kinds of attributes. Number one are those that He possesses of Himself, and intrinsic attitudes like life and love and holiness. And then secondly, He has attributes that He uses to relate to His creation, especially to man. An example of that is, by nature, God is truth. But when He relates to man, God's truth becomes faithfulness. God is by nature holy, and when He relates that holiness to man, it becomes justice. My wife likes that one. She's a justice person. And that's a good thing. Don't we need justice? Look at the world. Love is one of God's intrinsic attributes, but when love is related to sinners, it becomes grace and mercy. Verse 4 again. But God, who is rich in mercy, look at verse 7, in ages to come, He might show that exceeding riches of His grace, and these riches make it possible for sinners to be saved. It might shock you. But we're not really saved by God's love. Did you know that? We're saved by His mercy and His grace. In His mercy, He does not give us what we deserve. And in His grace, He gives us what we do not deserve. And all of this is only possible because of His death, His Son's death on the cross. On the cross, He showed us His hatred for sin and His love for sinners. Romans 5, 8. Four activities. He loves us. He quickened us. And look at verse 5. Means He made us alive even when we were dead in our sin. He made what was dead spiritually to come alive. We're looking at the resurrection coming. Aren't you glad we can celebrate the resurrection? In the Gospels there are recorded three physical resurrections. In Luke chapter 7, the widow's son. In Luke chapter 8, Jairus' daughter. In John chapter 11, Lazarus. Other than Jesus, that's the three that's named in the Bible. And all three times He spoke the word and life came. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, the word of God is quick and it's powerful. It's the same power that's going to raise our dear Donna and Pastor Jim one of these days. And these three resurrections that here that we just looked at are a picture of the spiritual resurrection that comes to each sinner as they're spiritually quickened from death. John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. And shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. You know, that's what our job is. Our job is to help people go from death and darkness to life and light. That's your job next week. That's my job next week. Our spiritual resurrection is much greater than these because we are raised together with Him. That puts us in union with the Lord Jesus. God made us alive together in Christ and members of His body. We are united with Him. We share in His resurrection and His resurrection power. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Well, activity number 3 is He exalts us. Look at verse 6. He hath raised us. He didn't raise us from the dead to leave us in the graveyard like a headstone. No. We are united with Christ and we are exalted with Him and we even share His throne as His bride. We may be on this dark earth. It's dark. But positionally, we are with Christ in heavenly places. That's what we learned last week. John chapter 12, Jesus went back to Lazarus' house and He had supper with the one He raised from the dead. And one day, we who have been raised from the dead will have supper with Jesus at the wedding feast. And here's the last activity, the fourth one. He keeps us. Verse 7 and 9. 7 through 9. God didn't just rescue us from hell. And that is a big thing. Believe me. Verse 7 says, in the ages to come, He shows us the riches of His grace. Verse 8 says, by grace we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. And salvation, verse 9, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But His ultimate purpose in saving us was for us as the body of Christ, the church, might bring glory to Him and His name. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, our redemption and heritage as God's possession was to praise, to His praise and His glory. And because we have this eternal purpose to glorify Him, He will keep us for all eternity. And since we have not been saved by our good works, we can't be lost by our bad works. Did you know that? That's what grace means. Salvation has nothing to do with our good works. It's a gift from God, and salvation is a gift. It's not a reward. We can't add anything to the work of the cross. It is finished. We can't add anything to it. We can't take anything away from it. Jesus tore the veil in two in the Holy of Holies. We now have access to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And the Lamb of God was the last sacrifice for sin. No more blood of goats and doves. God did it. And He did it by His grace. Sin worked against us, but God worked for us. That was God's work for us. Now look at verse 10. We see God's work in us. And we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. The Greek word there is workmanship is poema. And we get the English word poem from. And it means that which is made a manufactured product. In other words, our salvation is not the end. It is the beginning. And we are part of God's new creation. God is the creator and He creates life. And He creates new life in dead people. And a poet creates a new thought or a new rhyme. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, you know it. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And behold, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. How does He make us like His Son? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, both to will and to do His good pleasure. Jesus left and He went back to heaven where He's working to perfect the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10, He who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens that He might fill all things. Verse 11, He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Why? Why do you do that? To edify you, the body of Christ. Jim Nahart, God called him as a son, but he also called him as a shepherd. Some of you know more about that. I wish I knew more about that. Some of you have experienced, you all have experienced what is done in his life. He shepherded God's people. What a blessing it is to shepherd God's people. I have been blessed. Do you know what? It wasn't always easy. Was it? You other pastors. We got several Jim pastors here. It wasn't. Shepherding is hard work. Pastor Jim, when I first came here 6 years ago, he gave me a book on shepherds. I know I've still got it somewhere, but I read that book. I don't read many books, but the Bible. I should read more. Donna Phillips, she's called. She was called. God called her. She's more than she's ever been at this moment. More alive than she's ever been. You know, Rick, I have to tell you this story. He might have told somebody. I think he'd be okay with it. I talked to him a couple days ago, and he said, I tried to sneak in to where Donna worked. She worked at the library, you know. And so I went in at about 6:30. He said, I thought I'd miss everybody. He said, before I got her stuff together, here came somebody. Then another. Then another. Trying to avoid the emotional thing. But he says, I was so glad. I'm so glad I went. I heard the stories. I heard how she touched lives. They just kept coming. See, that doesn't happen if you don't know Jesus. In yourself, there is no good thing. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. It's by God's grace. Putting off the old and putting on the new. The former conversation, the former behavior. Chris, the former behavior, put it off. God's going to put it off. I so enjoyed being with Chris the other day. There was life and light in his eyes as we had lunch together. Only Jesus can do that. Put on the new man, which is after God's heart. Easter is coming. That same resurrection power that saved you and took you out of the grave of sin can help you live the life that glorifies God. The power of the cross and the resurrection can form you to be like Jesus. God can't work in you until he has worked for you in moving from death to life. It is though the word prayer and suffering that God works in you. You know, he spent 40 years with Moses, working on Moses in the wilderness. Moses started out working under his own strength. And when he killed the Egyptian in the flesh, he had to flee. In 40 years as a humble shepherd in the desert, he experienced God's working in his life that prepared him for the next 40 years of powerful service to God. Joseph, remember Joseph, suffered 13 years in prison before God put him on the throne of Egypt, second in command. David was chosen king as a boy, but he had many years in exile till he saw his throne. Even Paul spent 3 years in Arabia after his conversion and the Holy Spirit teaching him for the most fruitful ministry in all of the New Testament. Sin works against us. God works for us. God works in us. Now Paul says God works through us. I hope this week God will be working through all of you, and I know he will. The last verse, verse 10. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're not saved by good works, but but saved unto good works. It is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. We are not saved by faith plus works, but by faith that works. Saving faith always results in a changed life. And James tells us words are cheap. You got to back them up with deeds being done. Love and grace has to be shown. And God works through us. And I close with this verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We do good works to glorify our Father, not us. Amen? Easter, the resurrection is coming, our hope in Him. And we're going to sing "Whiter Than Snow," number 464. And as you turn there, or you get ready to sing this, when our musicians come, I just want to just give you some. My wife is always helping me in the ministry. And I don't give her credit where she does. She always helps me with a sermon, even when she doesn't know what the sermon's about. But this week, she gave me a quote from Pastor Brian Zahn. You probably don't know who he is, but this is what he said. God said, I think for today, this is really important. "God's love suffers all till all is well." Can I say that again? God's love suffers all till all is well. 464. I'll be up here. Is there anybody here that would like to pray with me? And one of our deacons will be over here. We're here to pray with you. If you want to come, this altar's open. 464.